This is the first time I've actually drank this lemonade. Really? Yeah, I don't like lemonade.
Any reaction?
It's decent. It's cold, and I'm thirsty, so.
Well, let me pop a cold one for you.
But so is everything, right? I would drink another. But no way I could finish this.
Oh, best lemonade ever.
Do not do that noise in the headset again. You heard that he said.
It's good. It's good. Sorry, is that better?
Yeah, that was great.
Chill, man. That's totally for real. Shit, yeah.
Coming to you live with a man, a myth, a legend, Mantis. Following his 100 free throw stream, Mantis, you know, first words after it. How do you feel after it? What was the recovery process like?
My God. First words right there. Recovery, we're about 95% recovered. My wrists are still messed up. My arm's a lot better. Everything else is better. It's just the wrist, all the flicking, you know, all the, and like the way when I shoot, like I shoot right hand, but my left hand always like flips to the left when I do it. So a lot of this just really messed it up. It's like playing like Warzone for like 80 hours straight. Just carpal tunnel, whatever you want to call it. I have it.
You shoot kind of like Joakim Noah?
Almost like, you know, yeah, that's a really good comparison. I was trying to think of someone. Yeah. Joe Bent Noah, for sure. Yeah.
There's no way you know what Joakim Noah shoots like.
I grew up a Bulls fan. He shoots like this.
Just like heave.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joakim Noah.
If your jumper is getting compared to Joakim Noah, I don't think that's not a good thing.
Good thing it's a free throw, not a jumper.
True. His free throw percentage was probably decent.
I was shooting better than Steph Curry for like the first 50 hours. I was shooting 92.6%. He was shooting 91.6% all time.
Yeah, and think about how much more practice he puts in than you, too.
True. Oh, he does not do any of it as me, I can tell you right now.
Oh, really?
He's not putting in 82 hours.
What's a normal, or how'd you prepare for the free throw challenge, actually?
It was basically just shooting just a couple times a week. I would shoot about 200, 300, try and get 100. If I don't, then just call it a break. It was mostly a lot more just trying to get the sponsorships and the stream set up. Or I know I'm a shooter. I mean, when you're from Indiana, it's just in you. It's part of your genes. So it's like, I already have it, but how can I really, really just keep the stamina and the mentality going?
How many shots did you get up overall?
7,753.
So like at what number of shots do you just kind of look around and you're like, fuck, like my body hurts, my arms hurt. I probably shouldn't keep shooting.
I think it's 7,500 when I was doing that. So at the very end, I was like, this is it. Michael Jackson, this is it.
There had to have been a point earlier, though, in the process.
No, I wanted to hit the 100 so bad, and I knew that people were loving the stream, and I loved every part of it. It's just, I just wanted to hit it, and I'm a very competitive person, and I knew if I didn't hit the 100, I would get shit on, and I am getting shit on now, but people are like, oh, why did you stop? I think you're going to go, but now we're going to do part two with a bigger budget, so better for us, and then we can do a different gym.
It is a little misleading, because you said you were locked in the gym until you hit 100 free throws. It came out that you actually weren't. You walked out just skate free. Nothing happened.
We walked out, unfortunately. We did get kicked out of the gym. We thought we had it for a week. We had it for 4 days. The guy who owns it, shout out Mark Wise, he runs an NBA, NFL, NBA clients, NFL clients, and they had people coming in to work out. So we're like we gotta get lost after Tuesday. So we do have a backup gym. We do have that ready. It's a matter of a underdog. Let's talk. We'll get it going again.
You said the hardest part was like setting up the sponsorships and just the production side of things. Talk on that a little bit. Going from, you obviously say you're a shooter, you know, it's in your blood. You grew up in Indiana, but then now being able to monetize, you know, one of your skill sets.
Yeah, we didn't want just to be like to just set up a camera and shoot free. We want to be an actual. We're very inspired by, you know, streamers today like Kai Cenat and Aiden Ross, and they're going above and beyond to make entertaining shows. So like, one of the big things, like we were working on Joey Chestnut, the 16-time hot dog eating champion of the world, to sing the national anthem for us to start the show.
And the Rockets red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night.
Then we wanted to have celebrities call in, like Pat Bev called in a couple times, and we had Jersey Jerry from Barcelona Sports, he called in. And we had some like some TikTokers. Do you know Diddy Bop? Mm-hmm. So he came in with his crew. Like, that was a big push for us too. So we were able to make sure we were getting the most out of all the production and stream and sponsorships and not just free throws too. Like people loved watching me sleep. I couldn't believe that people loved watching the little taco eating contest. And we had this kid come in. He was just shooting free throws, and I was like, dude, I'll give you $500 if you get a blindfold shot. See, he was missing them. Pitched it up, swished it, lost $500. So stuff like that. I just clips it up, and it's like, wow, this is more than just a casual free throw stream.
Hey, where does that relationship with Jack Harlow stem from? Because I saw he tweeted out the link 70 hours into the stream or something.
Yeah.
Like, how did you guys meet? Like, how did you guys become friends?
I love this story. So 2018, I was going to Wabash for a video. And
can I cut you off one second? Noah, who works here at Lyric Lemonade, is Jack Harlow's younger brother. So I always love to say this story. I always love to bring that up.
Before I see no difference. Yeah. I see it. 2018, November, I'm driving up to Wabash for a video. My friend, also named Jack, he was playing. He played Sundown and Dark Knight in the car. I was like, do you know Jack Harlow? I was like, oh, no, who's that? I played that. I was like, oh, this is really good. So then after the video, I downloaded Loose, his mixtape, or his album. And then I started listening to him. 2 months later, I ran into him at LaGuardia Airport on the way back from Las Vegas. And like, I see this tall 6'3", like, white dude standing in the middle of concourse. I'm like, there's no way that's Jack Harlow. He had like maybe 15,000 Twitter followers at the time. Like, he was still like on the come up. This is back when, like, I think, who was it? I don't want to say it now. This was like right when Diddy was like co-signing him. Whoops.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So besides that, Bryson Tiller was also co-signing him. Okay, so Bryson Tiller. Yeah, not the other guy.
Yeah.
And I see him like, hey, are you Jack? Like, what's up, man? And yeah. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm a big fan of you. I just started listening to you, Keep It Up. And he was with Urban Wyatt. Shout out Urban Wyatt. They were together. And then after that, I took a selfie with him, and I was fanboying, but I just loved who he was. He's just a really good artist, and like, he's a really nice guy in person. So I love people who are just really genuine person. That's a big fan of for me. And day later, Urban Wyatt, this is back when I was working at Barstool Sports. So Urban Wyatt DMs me. He goes, hey, you know the pizza guy, Dave. Like, we're trying to do a pizza review for the Derby when he comes by. So I tried to set that up. Didn't happen. Just Dave didn't see the potential in Jack. No one at Barstool saw the potential in Jack besides me. I'll get into that in a second. But he came back for some New York shows a few months later, and then I went to his shows and started, like, I met him again. We started building a slow friendship from me going to his shows, and then eventually I brought Jack into Barstool August 2019 to promote Confetti. Mm. And there's a little segment that Barstool does where, like, you, like, have a celebrity talk about, like, a fun fact, and then they promote it, whatever. So I wanted to get him on that. And we had Jack come in to do that, but Barstool wouldn't release the video because I got in trouble for bringing in Jack Harlow in the Barstool Sports. They said, who is this white SoundCloud rapper trying to use us for clout? Like, don't ever do this again. 3 months later, What's Poppin' came out, and, you know, Jack's trajectory just skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So after that, really, we've just been really built a great friendship after that. Mm-hmm. And the video did get released, but like months and months later, like, it's just
way after.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, so come on, man. So
just keep going, because this is only becoming more legendary as time goes by. Nobody wants to see you quit. And I know you got this, brother, so don't let quitting even cross your mind. Finish the job. You got this.
All right, here.
You can't be bringing in this white SoundCloud rapper to use us for clout.
How old was the lady that told you that?
In like early 40s, like late 30s, like, yeah. Meanwhile, there's a guy and they're actually bringing in SoundCloud rappers who like haven't moved the needle at all. So it's like, come on.
A&R Mantis, I like that.
Yeah, no, he's very talented.
Ahead of your time.
Yeah. So, he's a great guy. I mean, I want to promote him. He's obviously successful. So shout out Jack Harlow. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah. You also brought someone else into Barstow's office though. It was, you know, person who was a date.
Lisa Ann?
Was it her?
Oh, the other date. Dude, I was all these dates.
Yeah, I don't know how many dates you had through the office.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was the one that you actually got in trouble for using the bar and using, like, whatever. But
I matched with a girl on Bumble, which is very rare for me. That was a very rare moment. So, I capitalized off of that. So I matched with her, and then we're trying to figure out first date spot. And then I go, hey, do you know Barstool Sports? She's like, no, what's that? So I showed her around the office, and then I was like, all right, you want to go get some pizza, go get some drinks? And she's like, well, you have a sponsored New Amsterdam vodka bar in the corner. Why don't we just drink there for free? I was like, oh, yeah, I guess. So, makes sense. Save money, right? Save drinks. And then there was a live stream going on right next to the bar while I was on a date. But I didn't really care. It was like, just like a shooting star moment for me with a girl. So we had a nice little fun time. And then the day later, Dave's like, why is your deformed mangled brain bringing a girl into the office? Like, I was like, oh, dude, we were just chilling. Like, everyone does it. I just got caught, apparently. So I did it in front of everyone. But no, that was a good date. Besides the fact that she was bragging about like all the IU basketball players she hooked up with, and I was just sitting there like a pigeon, like just watching.
That's so tough.
Yeah. And we didn't go on a date again after that.
Hey, so. Bring girls to the office, that's like a big unwritten rule. Even here. Like, I don't think that's really ever happened here. There was maybe once or twice. Someone got in trouble, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also saw one dude bring like half a frat and sorority into the office on a Saturday, so I thought like one girl wouldn't hurt. So I was like, eh, well, just so. But
interesting. Yeah.
You gotta get how you can with girls. You know, it's just... You
know. All right, let's backtrack for a second. How did you start with Barstool to begin with? Like, at the very beginning?
So, back in high school, when I used to bust it to the dance, I was a ball boy. I was a football manager for the Fishers High School football team, and I applied to some schools, only got an IUPUI, so then I went to IUPUI.
Which is?
Indiana University, Purdue University of Indianapolis.
Okay.
I need a drink after that.
Say that acronym like everyone knows what that
right,
is.
Right, yeah.
Ooey pooey. Now it's UIs, and there's no more Purdue. They got rid of it. So it's IUI.
Wow, they probably stopped cutting the check.
So I'm saying, on God.
Yeah.
And on baby, too, speaking of that. So I went to IUPUI, and the second week of school, I was doing exercise science. I wanted to be an athletic trainer. I thought that, like, if someone tore their ACL, I would know what I would be doing, which is hell no. I would get sued if someone tore their ACL. I'd be messed up. And the second week of school, there was an opening to be a ball boy for the Indianapolis Colts. So I applied for it, got the job, ball boy the first 2 years with the Colts. Then Pat McAfee retired, and he joined Barstool Indianapolis. He joined Barstool Sports, which then opened up Barstool Indianapolis in a little branch. And I DM saying, hey, man, if you need help with any videos, I'd be happy to help you. Didn't know what I was going to get into, but he replied to me, gave me an interview, and me and some other interns made videos over the summer. I made a video called Ref Daddy, where I put on a referee outfit and like just refereed the games in the hood. It was great, and built off of that and made some more videos. And after the internship, my junior at IUPUI, I made my own YouTube channel. I pretty much started making fun of IUPUI. Like, I'd go to an IUPUI basketball game, like there's like five fans there. I make fun of like all the potholes at IUPUI, like there's like, and then I do videos around Indianapolis, trying to build a small little Indiana following. Barstool Sports had a thing called Barstool Idol, where you would compete, like American Idol, you compete for a full-time job, and you audition every day. I won that competition in New York, won a full-time job with Barstool, worked for 2 years. Ellie and I met through Brandon Kraut.
Mm-hmm.
We met like 2019, 2020-ish. Yeah, during Lollapalooza weekend, and I made videos for them. I got laid off from Barstool end of 2020 due to quote unquote COVID, but they're just letting people off and just saving money and stuff. And then past 3.5 years, I've been independent and working with Brandon and Mike, and then our YouTube has been blowing up, so doing really well since like last November, and now we're here.
What was that transition like? Like, obviously working with Barstool, massive brand, very recognizable, and then, you know, COVID, a ton of people got laid off, obviously.
Yeah.
But what was that transition, you know, going from like, all right, I'm creating content for this massive platform to, all right, now I'm creating content for myself?
It was really, I was probably crying for 2 minutes when I got the news, but I was like, oh, wait, I can do whatever I want now. I'm independent. Mm-hmm. And like, I knew that would take a lot of work to get back to that. And so I started DoorDashing and made some money while also starting a podcast. And my podcast wasn't really doing, like, it wasn't projecting. So I was like, I need to switch it up. But Brandon's a big reason why everything's changed. We changed the whole format of like how to create, what kind of visual we want to do. Went from like these like videos that are they're funny, but it's like there's no like it's not gonna go out to everywhere around the world. Like, if I made a video, you'd be like, who's this guy? Whatever. But now we're doing videos where we're putting on like a fake Arby's sandwich at the Shrek beef sandwich, or we're going to sneak on to an IUPUI basketball game and blah, blah, blah. So now it's like really good ideas. Like, we're kind of going off the almost Mr. Beast meta, you know, with the short. So we're just trying to be more creative one-off videos that are going to lead to like long-form videos and merchandise and all that. So we've been learning a lot from watching other YouTubers and just pretty much a lot of discipline and hard work, really.
You talked about the IUPUI and checking into the actual live game.
Making sure we're getting
down 7.
We're substitute team.
Yeah, for sure.
So free throws coming up for Jalen Counter.
Hey, go off to him, go off to him, go off to him.
Well,
I got
what?
You.
Greg,
I got
it's
you.
A situation
hey, free Draymond,
where...
free Draymond.
Pretty controversial. Has there ever, how many ideas that you've come up with that, you know, sound like great ideas, but once you actually do them, you know, could have ended in, you know, maybe getting arrested?
Well, IUP, why, funny you said that. I'm now trespassed from all IU campuses because of that. I can't go to IU, IU Kokomo, IUPUI. Oh, IUPUI, darn, can't go on that campus anymore.
Yeah.
No, not missing anything with that, to be honest. But I think that's the farthest I've gone. I haven't been like, you know, like Danny Duncan got arrested or whatever, mm-hmm. any of that. I mean, we're very smart with what can start, like, what could happen if we do something like this, edgy stuff, you know. But yeah, I'm still like a bad boy. Don't get me wrong, but
no, you definitely give those vibes.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
Will
yeah.
Smith, Martin Lawrence. I'm a bad boy. You know.
Yeah. You know the bad boy song.
Yes.
They're actually dropping a new one. I actually can't wait for the trailer. Looks exciting.
I'm a tricky red rat boy. You already know.
Sean doesn't know what you're.
I have no
to.
Idea where you.
It's
I
an old Lyric Lemonade video.
Yeah.
It's
oh really?
Pretty on
Juice
brand.
And
oh,
yeah. Thug.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
He's got it. He's
yeah. Dude, come on, bro. Shit hard.
The Pat Bev relationship has been very interesting to see it like blossom, unfold over the last, you know,
that's twin.
Month or two.
Pat Bev, yeah, he's an awesome guy. Like, obviously, I mean, I'm a big NBA fan, so I've known about him forever. But mm-hmm. you know, you always see like how competitive and how like he's crazy guy on the court. You know, he's mm-hmm. he's just insane, but like calmest, nicest guy on the planet off the court.
Hit you when you get it, buddy. Keep going. I'm with you.
When we win this, I'm gonna frame your jersey. I'm gonna send it to you.
Say less. I love it.
Less.
So he's really cool. Shout out Pat Bev.
Have you had a conversation on who has better basketball, Indiana or Indianapolis or Chicago?
You want to get into this, huh?
I just want to see what you two said, because I'm sure it could be a long list of you know, NBA players.
Pat Bev's Chicago. Where did he go to high school again?
You guys would know. But I know his average was, because everybody always talks about what his average is in NBA, mm-hmm. and then they always go back and bring up his average in high school, and he was just like dropping 30 and, mm-hmm. you know, dropping people off. But obviously both have great history of basketball, so I just wanted to see if you guys had that conversation or that, you know, discussion yet.
No, we haven't. We just talked about we had for lunch the other day and then talked about like what we're doing this weekend, like nothing like that. But Indiana basketball, you know, we got Greg Oden, Mike Conley,
Yogi Ferrell.
Shit, me.
How do you feel about the current state of the Colts?
Oh, God. Being a Colts fan is a roller coaster because, you know, it's like you get so much hype in the offseason. We've been the best team in the division, then we always finish like 500 or whatever, mm-hmm. but you know, of course, Anthony Richardson, our sweet prince, being injured, that really just sunk the boat. Then mm-hmm. it makes me scared that we signed Joe Flacco. It makes me feel like he's gonna get hurt again. Then we have Joe Flacco play the whole season. I feel like every year we have some like old backup quarterback just be our starter.
Yeah,
Philip Rivers,
do. Carson Matt Ryan,
Gardner Minshew last year, right?
Gardner Minshew, Matt Ryan. That was a bad year.
Yeah.
That was a bad year, brother. That was scary hours for. Shout out Drake.
Yeah.
That was, oh my God.
And the back-to-back years, I want to say you were one game away from you had to win the last game.
We had to beat the Texans, bro. We can't beat the Texans.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they look great now. Yeah. We made them look like the 85 Bears. Shit. Mm-hmm. CJ Stroud is slinging it. But even too, like, another thing, our general manager, Chris Ballard, like, he never makes any off-season moves. Like, he's more worried about signing our really nice locker room guys, very polite guys, instead of like signing like superstars or whatever. Mm. So we're pretty much the same team almost the past 2 or 3 years, but now we're banking on Anthony to be healthy, so, you know, that's our optimism right there.
Have you connected with him at all since you got to Indy?
Yeah, Anthony. I met him at Kroger.
Really?
In August, I'm walking around getting some mac and cheese because we're about to grill some burgers with my mom. And I see this dude like picking up some AIDS. I'm like, there's no way that's Anthony Richardson. He just stands up like, oh, that's him. So then I was like, I had a video series where I like see someone wearing like a random jersey. I'd be like, holy shit, it's him. So like, it was actually him. So I was like, yo, dude, I want to do a video with you. So pull a camera on him. I'm like, holy shit, it's Peyton Manning. Holy shit, it's Peyton Manning. And then that blew up. And then they all loved it. And then we hung out a couple times. But I mean, he's a really, really nice guy. So I really hope he stays healthy. He deserves it. We need him. We need another. Him and Halliburton soon to be Caitlin Clark, like, you know, the sports figures of Indianapolis. Sure. So it's and they're all great people. Tyree's a great guy too, but Ant's the man. So hopefully healthy season will be great.
Where are some of your Indiana legends, pro legend growing up, whether it be like Peyton Manning or who's basketball? Danny Granger.
Danny Granger.
He was one of those 2K.
Yeah, he was tough.
He was broken in 2K.
PG. But like, yeah, growing up, who were some of the athletes that you looked up to from Indianapolis?
Peyton, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Bob Sanders.
Bob Sanders.
If he wasn't hurt.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my.
There was a point where, because I'm like a 5'8 safety corner. Yeah. There was a point where I was like,
you built like me, for real, 5'8. Shit.
There was a point I wanted to be like Bob Sanders. But then, like, I saw the way he played, and then once I got to high school, I could do it. I could run around and hit people like that. But then when I got to college and I saw, like, how big the running backs were, and I was like, I cannot get over 200 pounds and just run downhill and just hit people with my face mask. I was like, I gotta find a new inspiration.
Yeah, you're set up for injury, which happened to him. He had those neck problems and all that. Guys, yeah, Danny Granger, gosh. Throwback Thursday.
Hey, you think I was about to take a turn. When you were a kid, Marvin Harrison was obviously a star for the Colts. Remember when he had that whole murder?
The bat. And
stuff. You think he did it?
I mean, you know, the way I see it, we're here to win games. Yeah. You know, we're here to win. So whatever happens off the field.
It was like pre-social media. That shit all just got swept under the rug.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. What an interesting.
Well, you know, the whole Peyton Manning at Tennessee, the whole athletic trainers.
I've never
apparently,
heard of
apparently he was sexually harassed, like, trainers, allegedly. During his college days, we still drafted him, and looked how he turned out. So, I mean, who knows?
Peyton Manning's a legend down there. I had a recruiting visit to Tennessee, and we stayed at the Peyton Manning Hotel. And
he's got a hotel?
Hotel. Yeah, it's like on top of the hill, and it's really, really nice. They took care of us there, too.
Damn.
I almost wanted to go to Tennessee just for that reason.
Mm. Is a hotel shit with a big-ass forehead? Just like that. Yeah. Every time he checked in, Omaha.
Yeah. Do you remember that Super Bowl? Do you remember the Colts Super Bowl versus the Bears? You remember that one?
Do you remember Elliot?
Do you remember Elliot?
I was 10 years old. I think that was I cried. I cried as a little kid.
Were you nervous after the kickoff?
Yeah, Devin has to watch the kickback.
Very nervous.
The third play of the first offensive drive, Peyton Manning threw a pick to Chris Harris, and I thought it was over.
Yeah,
and,
I thought it was too.
I think Cedric Benson maybe fumbled in the fourth quarter. Something happened,
that's a
man.
Throwback.
Dude.
That's a throwback, man.
RIP.
I think Bob Sanders popped the running back for the fumble. I'm pretty sure it was him.
Man, that was a terrible day. And life as a Bears fan hasn't really been that sweet since. But Caleb Williams, you know, got a little bit of hope now. Hopefully something happens there.
There's a bet right here. I'll say it live. If you guys go to the playoffs this year, I will paint my fingernails for 1 week.
Okay, that's just a one-way bet.
Yeah,
there's no opposite.
They don't get
that?
Anything out of that.
Yeah.
No, I said it straight up.
All right, cool.
I was a good guy.
I'll take it. Why not?
You don't need to do anything. You Bears have been through enough. I'll do it for you guys.
Bro, I think the Bears are gonna be nice this year. Like,
they got
all
the
my
team.
Bias aside, they got a good defense.
They got the team. They just got Keenan Allen
for a fourth round pick. Come on, DeAndre Swift.
No more Kirk Cousins. He's in Atlanta.
Yeah,
I mean, at this point, it's just organization and coaching, right? I would say.
Yeah. Matt Eberflus is like all of a sudden a sex symbol. I don't know if you guys have seen that now, but like it's a big sports story right now in Chicago. But
that's all you have to talk about in Chicago. I want to talk about your brand, That Boy Bent. How did that come about? And, you know, what made, we can talk about your story and just, you know, your upbringing and things like that. But how did that brand, you know, come to fruition?
Yeah, I'm bent, obviously. I have an undiagnosed physical condition. There's no name for what I have. It's not like I have all my muscles and bones, not scoliosis, not anything like that, but they just couldn't figure out, when I popped out, they just couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. So I think around probably at least college, I love playing basketball, and I would shoot, like, you can tell by when I shoot basketball, I'm really bent. So around college time, I think someone just yelled, my friend Samson, he just yelled, "That boy bent," after I hit a three. I loved it. And then we kind of built off of that. But I think that really came back when the whole Barstool free throw stream came in. Because people at Barstool be like, "Oh, that's the bent guy." And I was like, "That boy bent." But it's not just sub. Like, I just another way people know me. See, oh, it's Mantis. Oh, it's Ben guy. Oh, it's the IEPY guy. It's whatever. It's another layer of people how they see me or know me from videos or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard though. That boy Ben.
Yeah, that boy. Yeah.
That boy, anyone should be Ben. You know, you can be Ben. You can be Ben.
Like, it used to be a like saying. I don't know if it could have been a Cleveland thing, but you got me bent. Like you got me messed up. Like you ever heard that before? Somebody say you got me bent.
Never.
No.
It'd be like if I told you like right now to just go like run down to the car and grab something for me, and you'd be like, nah, you got me bent. It's like I'm not. You twist it. You got me, you know, messed up.
I would say no. You got me effed up, twin. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Well, I was a kid when I was saying it, so you know, wasn't allowed to say that. But
yeah. Good parenting.
Now you know, starting as a content creator, like. Picture yours, like, and I feel like when we grew up nowadays, if a kid is growing up, you know, being a content creator might be number one on their list. But like when we were growing up, and you obviously have a love for basketball coming from Indiana, and just, you know, the work that you've already put in into the sport. But you said you also had, you know, an undiagnosed disability.
No one else. Yeah. Yeah.
But so maybe like sports wasn't something that you could really participate in at the, like, getting to the professional level. So when did, I guess, content creator come in about, or what were you looking at before you even got into content creating?
Well, before I say that, I've always been told that, I mean, my dad never ever wanted me to play like high school sports or like even like recreational sports. But fun fact, he said that I'm actually announcement right now before it goes viral, not viral, before it goes out, I'm playing in the TBT, the basketball tournament this summer. I got assigned to the Valparaiso Crew, so I'm actually playing for them on ESPN this summer.
That's
so
fire.
My first professional sports team ever, or semi-pro, whatever it is, but that's really cool. But before that, I wanted to be like an athletic trainer. Then when I was a ball boy, I wanted to be a ball boy forever for a sports team. Pretty much worked behind the scenes of sports, but then I started really showcasing. I started just going hard on being a content creator, YouTuber, and I love this a lot more. So it's really starting to pay off, and people are loving it. So